Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 27. Can you turn the mic up a little bit? Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me when thou didst say, seek my face. My heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide thy face from me. Do not turn thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Do not abandon me, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. Because of my foes, do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Psalm 27, it's again another Psalm of David. Like a lot of these, and especially in this time, we don't really know exactly what situation that he's talking about. Sometimes it's nice to know because then we can put a lot of context into what he's saying here. But this one we don't know. But it's quite a beautiful psalm in many different ways. It's music, right? Okay. No worries. And this is actually this particular psalm has some of my favorite verses in the whole of the Psalms, particularly verse 4. But he starts off and he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The word light, because we're so familiar with the New Testament, we very much understand the connection and the concept. But this is not common in the Old Testament. In fact, I can only think of one other passage in the book of Isaiah, which actually mentions light. But now, for the first time, and the only time in the Old Testament, light is attributed to God. We know this because John writes so clearly about this. Other writers, right? He is the light of the world, all these things. But in the Old Testament, there really wasn't this kind of concept or this idea. And so we can make an educated guess that a lot of what David is writing, it's the Spirit of God is moving within him, and he's really writing projecting a future that's out there, the future of the Messiah. As we'll see that this would be a common phrase. But it starts off with this whole idea, the Lord, he is my light. He's the one who lights the way, particularly in this way, especially when he's in darkness. And you remember, he's in trouble. We don't know if this is war or this psalm could refer in some ways to family issues that we'll get into verse 10. I'll get into that a little bit later on. But he could feel like he's just boxed in so many ways. And you know, when you feel like that, it's darkness. And he says, but the Lord, he is my light. He's the one that illuminates. I can actually see in the midst of darkness. And he is my salvation. So then he asks the question, well, whom shall I fear? If he is my light in darkness, and he is the one who saves me in darkness, in trouble, then it's a simple question. Then why shall I be afraid? And if you really think about it, it is a great question. It's a great thought. I mean, how many times have we thought about this in our own lives? And you know, you get into the place of despair. You get into a place where you're very depressed and all these things. And then you kind of, oh yeah, no, God. Yeah, God's in charge. He's my Lord. He's the one who saves my life. Why am I freaking out? I think I have many of these moments in my life, and you know, we think about different things and you know, family issues, issues at work, you know, issues with relationships, and when we tend to focus on those issues, we tend to feel downcast. And then when you just remember, no, the Lord is my light. He's the one who illumines when I'm in this trouble. And so, why am I afraid? Right? Why do I fear this? You know, there's an old famous quote, as a man does not fear who knows that his God is omnipotent. When people realize that our Father, our God, is all-powerful, yeah, they say, well, why should I fear? This is where David's coming to. Remember, this is a song, okay? So he's singing this. It's poetry. You know, the Lord is the defense of my life. I don't have to defend myself, even though I'm being attacked left and right. The Lord is my defense. I mean, he is the true avenger. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And I tell you, there's a huge difference from you defending yourself and God defending you. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation before, but it is an incredible difference. He says, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumble and fell. In other words, they try to attack me, they try to get their way, but they didn't make it. They fell. Though a host, this is verse 3, camp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. And he's got, this is his trust, his deep faith he has in God. No matter if I'm surrounded by my enemies, because I know the Lord is with me. I want you to know that that's probably one of the most beautiful sentiments that we can have in this life that we live in. I mean, there's something about this, and especially I like war movies, and I always like all these things, and you know, there's this phrase that keeps coming out in a lot of these, especially the older movies. It's a silly old phrase, but it simply says there are no atheists in foxholes. In other words, when you're in the trenches and you're getting shot at and, you know, your life is on the line, he says there's no atheists in foxholes. This is not a Christian statement, by the way. This is a statement from war. And it's this idea that when our life is in trouble, man, people turn to God. And David is just reflecting the joy and what you get to receive in the midst of difficulty when you turn to the Lord. And then the tone changes a bit from verse 4, and it says, one thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is and to meditate in his temple. The word is delight in the Lord. This is one thing. This is, can you imagine? He's saying, Lord, this is what I want. This is the one thing. You know, people ask, well, how is David a man after God's own heart when he's committed murder, when he's committed adultery? You know, I mean, he's done some of the most horrible things. It's statements like this. In the remember, this is in the midst of trouble, okay? So this is not when everything is okay. And he says, one thing, this is all I want. You know, usually when we're in trouble, you know the one thing we want? Lord, get me out of trouble. Like, I want to be rescued. I want to be freed. And David doesn't express that. He says, Lord, this is the one thing that I want. I just want to be with you. Possibly that in the midst of his trouble, he felt such the closeness of God, just a taste of that closeness of God, the presence of the Lord, that he says, he comes to this reflection and says, Lord, this is the only thing, one thing that I want, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now you have to remember something, okay? the temple or the tabernacle that David is talking about is not very beautiful right now. And so this is not like, this is not Solomon's temple has not been built yet. Remember, David was not allowed to, and Solomon built it later on. And it was, you know, one of the wonders of the world and, you know, inlaid with gold. And I mean, this beautiful structure. That didn't exist. This was a temporary tent. And so this is not talking about a building, okay? And so don't lose sight of that. It's not talking about this beautiful, ornate landmark that sits on top of the hill of Jerusalem. It is a tent. It is a temporary dwelling that they had built ages ago, you know, probably getting old, all these things. And so he's not talking about the beauty of a temple. And I know a lot of, you know, to be honest, a lot of Jews make that reflection. But no, he's talking about the beauty of the Lord. It's him. He's what makes the temple beautiful. He's the one that makes this the space or whatever. He's the one that makes it glorious. And in a way, he's saying, Lord, I just want to be with you. One thing I've asked from the Lord, and not only add, this is what I'm going to seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire the fullness, the word translated is the delightfulness of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple, the innermost part of the sanctuary. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to be in the presence of God. It's quite powerful. And he continues on. I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit to verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. It's interesting when he's talking about, I'm crying out to you in my voice, you know, verse 7. Hide me in the secret place, verse 5. Enemies have surrounded me, in all these different things. You know, do not hide your face from me, and so on and so forth. And I think, I mean, you've heard me share some messages in the past, and I think Psalm 27, I think David is going through not just troubles with his enemies, but I think he's going through serious family issues here at this stage. And you know that in David's life, family issues will continually be a theme. As he deals with Absalom and Amnon and so on and so forth, his sons. But even for David as a son himself, remember in 1 Samuel, when Samuel the prophet comes to bless the Jesse's children, remember David is nowhere to be found. And he's way out hiding, you know, out in the fields. You know, I mean, Jesse surely has servants that are able to do those type of things. Remember when David goes before Saul, and when Goliath challenges, and David says, man, I fought against bears and lions. There's a Jewish rabbi, actually a bunch of commentaries, that say simply that David, you know, had to fight bears and lions because his father wished that he was dead. So he basically sent David off to the most dangerous parts of the land, and so that he could be devoured. And rabbis tell the story that David was the illegitimate son of Jesse. And so there was a lot of hatred towards him and so on and so forth. You know, if you remember, we thought, but this was David's Catan moment back in the days. And so he speaks this great truth. And there's probably a lot of rejection at home. You can imagine, you know, he's crying out to God because, you know, the first people that were supposed to love him failed him in this way. And he says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. There's all different passages that connected this. He's the father of the fatherless. He's a defender of the widows and the orphans, and so on and so forth. And you see that this really flows out of David's heart. And now you can kind of imagine, I mean, there's enemies, you know, there's the Philistines, the Assyrians, you know, there's all that stuff. But then there's people that are supposed to love you and they hate you, and that's an enemy on a whole nother level. where you know you're supposed to feel safe. You know, on the bus ride here, I was actually getting really upset on the bus. It wasn't anyone. It was just I was reading an article, and this article was about another doctor at the University of Michigan, and he was a team doctor for the athletic department, and you know, and health services doctor. He was there for 40 years, and for 40 years he molested and abused, particularly in this case, men. You know, and I mean, it's horrible. And the university knew about it, you know, and they did nothing. And it just, you know, it gets you upset. Can you imagine, you know, you're an athlete or you're a young person, and you know, you go to school, and then the person that is trustworthy is a doctor, you know, a kind older man, you know, in a white jacket, and he's supposed to take care of you and make you feel better. And instead, he molests you and he abuses you, and he did that for 40 years, you know. And I mean, I was reading the article. I was getting heated up because obviously he died a while back ago, and so he's not gonna, you know, get any justice from all of his victims. Can you imagine for 40 years he did this? And you know, and there's all other countless scandals. The University of Southern California just paid out $1 billion. Because they had their own scandal with a doctor, is a gynecologist. You know, Michigan State, you know, just doled out $500 million for, you know, Larry Nassar, who's also the U.S. gymnastics coach. Sorry, this is all details you probably don't need to know. But, you know, people that you're supposed to trust. You know, people that you entrust your care to, and they abuse you and they flick. That's an enemy on a whole nother level. And perhaps David, in reflection, that's what he's reflecting on. This is someone that's supposed to love you, and someone's supposed to care for you, and someone's supposed to defend you, and it ends up that person is the one who abuses you. You know, that's why spiritual abuse, even in the U.S., you know, police shootings, like unlawful police shootings, and all those things, that's why they're so grievous, because these are the people that are supposed to help you. These are the people that are supposed to defend you in that way. And instead, they're the ones that shoot you. You know, they're the ones that harm you and abuse you. It's a horrible thing. And we understand that, but can you imagine your own family turn against you? I want you to know that's David's ordeal. That's what David is going through in all these ways. And so he says, my father, but this is, he has his recourse, Lord. My father, mother, they failed me. They, you know, but Lord, the Lord, you will take me up. And I want you to know, friends, that there is this incredible grace, this incredible mercy of God that comes to victims, that comes to those who are maligned. There's something of the heart of God that, I mean, like a rushing wind comes when people are hurt by those close to them. I mean, there is such a grace that comes on people's lives, and almost so sometimes, you know, as an outside observer, I mean, honestly, I could be jealous of the grace that comes. Like I'll give you just one quick, I know my time's running out, I'll give you one quick example, like women, okay? Now, you know, we've been talking about women for the last few weeks or so. I mean, clearly, in this world and through the history of the world, women have been treated unfairly. I mean, come on, let's just—I don't care what your politics are, but yeah, surely they've been treated unfairly, you know. Maybe not like the U.S. women's soccer team. They actually get paid more than the men do. That's a whole, you know, that's a fake narrative. But overall, you know, we can say that a lot of women surely get treated unfairly. And as a result, there is such a grace of God on women. You know, there's such a nearness and dearness of God's heart upon women that even as a man, right, I can feel quite jealous in many ways. Did you know in the New Testament, did you know there's not one woman that rejected Jesus? There's just something about God, the Lord, coming to the aid of and helping and lifting up, you know, particularly a marginalized, beaten down sex or a group of people or whatever the case may be. That's always been God's heart. And so when, you know, you can rewrite this verse in a certain way. I mean, I don't recommend you do that, but, you know, just for our intents and purposes, you know, when the world has forsaken you, you know, the world has you know, kicked you down because of your ethnicity or because of your sex or whatever it may be, and then we can be rest assured that the Lord will pick us up. The Lord will take us up. He will take up his our cause in his hands. And it's going to be something that's quite beautiful in this way. There's such a grace. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. He doesn't say, just eliminate my enemies. He says, just put my feet on solid ground. You know, give me the strength to fight against my enemies. Do not deliver me over the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless it had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so he believes that God's goodness is upon him right now, but also in the life to come. And so he's looking at not just in this life, and this is really how we can endure troubles. This is how we can go through suffering, because this is not the end. There's this life, and there's another life, our eternal life, that's waiting for us. And that's the land of the living. Obviously, it's not the land of the dead, right? It's the land of the living. And so he turns, and this is his own encouragement. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And remember, we talked about a few days ago, waiting is active. It's not passive. So let's close our eyes. So let's meditate on that for a second. Even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. My prayer for myself and all of us this morning is that when we feel that, when we feel we're being persecuted, when we feel we're being rejected, untreated fairly, that our recourse would be to go to the Lord, that we would have the resolve like David. One thing I ask, Lord, not to be away from the troubles, but Lord, just to be in your presence, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire, to meditate on the beauty of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Let's cry out, Lord, one thing I ask. Lord, I just want your presence.
I'm free, you rescued me, all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you, my I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. By grace I'm free, you rescued me. All I am is yours. I've found a love greater than life itself. I've found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Love came down and rescued me. I thank you, I thank you. I once was blind, but now I see. I see you, I see you. And love came down and rescued me. I thank you, I thank you. I once was blind, but now I see. I see you, I see you. By grace I'm free, you rescued me. All I am is yours. I've found a love greater than life itself. I've found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you.
Let's pray this morning. Let's learn to hide in the presence of the Lord. Let's learn to run to the temple of God and His beauty. It's not the building, it's His presence. No matter what difficulties, even if the enemies are supposed to be your friends and your family, you have a Father that you can run to. Even though your mother and father forsake you, your friends, your colleagues, whatever, society, the Lord will take you up. There is a grace available for you in time of trouble. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for just this extra grace over our community, especially those that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. And let's ask God to breathe His Spirit over this land. Let's pray for our churches there in Beijing and in Shanghai. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his family, Pastor Ricky and his family. Pray for the Chungs as John goes in and out. Pray also just for the churches and ask the Lord to really allow the gospel to flourish in China. And let's lift up. Let's lift up our board. Let's ask for God to really move in the midst of us and really use us. Let us be united in heart and mind and in the Lord, and that we would make wise decisions for this body. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's ministry, the prayer and pure desire, a women's ministry, lunchtime prayer and Oasis. And let's lift them up. Let's ask God to continue to connect them to one another and to the Lord. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's lift up our building and resources and pray for our vision fund and benefactor. Let's ask God to continue to provide. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Blue Pool, Fortress, Happy River Valley, Lido, Lion Rock, New Condo, TSD, Ventress, and Westville. Let's pray for our House Church leaders, our hosts. Pray for our members. They'll really draw near to God and to one another, and the discussions and ministry will be very fruitful tonight. Let's continue to pray over our city. Let's pray for the health of this city, spiritual health, obviously physical health with COVID and all these things. And let's ask God to really breathe life into this place. And lastly, let's just continue to pray over the pregnant women in our church. Pray for Viv, pray for Kathleen, Catherine, Yiling, Monica, others, Vicky. Let's just pray that God would continue to protect them. God would heal our babies in the womb that are having difficult issues. Let's just really lift them up. Let's pray. Lord, we say in the same way, one thing that we ask, Lord, one thing that we seek, Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in your temple. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that we would seek after you, Lord, with all of our heart. Lord, no matter what troubles come our way, God, that our first instinct would be to run to you. You are the light and our salvation, God. You are our shield, our fortress, the rock that is higher than I. And so help us, Lord. God, even if the world, God, even if our friends, our family, Lord, even when they forsake us, Lord, you will take us up. Thank you. You never give up on us, God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. Lord, help those in our community, God, Lord, that feel like they're in a war right now. Lord, would you be their ever-present help in their time of need? Oh, we thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.